This is the Miami Hour. Over the next hour, we'll be discussing the Miami Hurricanes and the Miami Dolphins. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Carlton Payton, and this is the second episode of the Miami Hour. Let's start with the Miami Hurricane. On Saturday, November 23rd, the Miami Hurricanes defeated the Virginia Cavaliers 45-26. The defense that had been playing, this was the best game the defense has definitely played within maybe the last 2 months. They didn't play great, but they play a lot better. First play of the game, after the kickoff, Tracy Howard intercepts the pass and returns it for a 19-yard touchdown. And Tracy Howard is definitely becoming the best player on this young Miami Hurricanes defense. It had been Denzel Perryman. He hasn't been very consistent the last couple of weeks. And as I mentioned last week, When I watch the film, it just doesn't look like quarterbacks are throwing to the receiver that Tracy Howard is covering a lot. And they tried him early in this game. They tried to throw it to the receiver he was covering, and he picked it off for a 19-yard interception return, which was good. Unfortunately, shortly after that, that very next drive, you know, Miami's defense let them drive all the way down the field. Stopped them in the red zone, so they stopped them for the red zone, so they had to settle for a field goal. Then on the next drive, a little later on in the first quarter, Stacy Coley caught a 62-yard screen pass from Stephen Morris. The screen pass is very similar to the one he had against Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago. He caught a screen pass, got a couple blocks, made a couple moves, and next thing you know, he was gone. Stacy Coley's definitely emerging into a superstar. He's had some freshman mistakes, as you would expect, but the future is definitely bright for Stacy Coley. And later on, at the end of the first quarter, the Miami Hurricanes gave up another full drive and a touchdown from David Walford. It was a 24-yard pass. Looked like a miscommunication. He was wide open, and in that first quarter, it was a little wet. It hadn't really started pouring yet, but Stephen Morris, I don't know if he was nervous because of senior day, or it looked like he was starting to lose confidence with each and every throw. His throws were very low. They weren't very accurate. Last week was his best game. This week, it seemed like he sort of took a step back, especially in the first half. In the second quarter, you know, Virginia came out. It wasn't very much scoring in the second quarter. Virginia, a couple punts. Virginia made a field goal, cut the lead to one. It was 14-13. And then Miami put together a nice drive right before halftime, and topped it off with a Dallas Crawford 1-yard touchdown run. The highlight of that drive was started up by an interception by Ladarius Gunter, and put the Canes in position to drive the ball down the field and put some points on the board before halftime. The first half was kind of sloppy. You know, they went in the halftime with their 21-13 lead. You could blame some of it on the weather. Like I said, Stephen Morris' confidence didn't look great. The crowd, I believe, even started booing him midway through the second quarter. Was chanting for Ryan Williams. You know, that of course wasn't going to happen. Golden has stuck with Stephen Morris this whole year. He definitely wasn't going to bench him. Seeing a game when they had the lead. In the third quarter, start the third quarter, we got the ball back. Turned the ball over. Didn't really do much. Drive the ball down the field. Stephen Morris still looked a little rusty, a little inconsistent. I'm not sure why. The majority of his passes were low. You know, usually with Stephen Morris, he's overthrowing somebody. A lot of times when it's a bad pass, he's overthrowing them. These were severely underthrown and very low. I'm not sure if the ball was wet and he couldn't quite get a grip, or he was being rushed out of the pocket a lot. So I'm not sure if he was panicking and rushing his throws, but like I said, the majority of them were low. We got a field in the third quarter. Got a field goal and a passing touchdown to Allen Hurns, who was wide open. Allen Hurns had a great game. He's been since Duke Johnson went down, he's definitely been the most consistent and probably best. You know, Herb Water and Stacy Coley have had some electrifying plays, but when we needed a first down or we needed a big play, Stephen Morris often looked to Allen Hurns this season, and he definitely delivered, and this game was no different. It was his senior game too, and he's definitely been getting the job done. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he runs good routes, and he probably has the best hands on the team. He's sure-handed. You don't see him dropping very many passes. He won't make guys miss with juke moves, but he doesn't fall from arm tackles either, so he can get decent yards after the catch, which is what he did here too. So that's always a good thing. Definitely been impressed with Allen Hurns this season. He could be in the running for the offensive MVP with Duke Johnson going down. That'll be interesting to see who gets it. That touchdown put them Hurricanes up 31-13. It looked like they were starting to run away with it. And then in the fourth quarter, the Miami Hurricanes defense looked like the Miami Hurricanes defense we've been seeing the past couple of weeks. Giving up big yardage plays. Virginia, for some reason, inexplicably deserted the run game. They had something going with the run game, and I know, you know, time wasn't on their side, but they were doing so well running. I'm not sure why they quit. So, you know, they were doing well passing too, but it seemed like every time they ran it, you know, just 5-6 yards each time. You know, the first drive after that touchdown to start the fourth quarter, they drove the ball all the way down the field and scored a touchdown off a 10-yard pass. A few punts later, nothing really going on. They were driving the ball, but it seemed like once they got to the other side of the 50, it was the bend but don't break defense that we had seen from the beginning of the season. You know, they would run the ball to get to our side of the 50, and then once they got there, for some reason, Virginia just wanted to pass. I'm not sure what the coach saw that made them desert the run game when they got close, but they did. Dallas Crawford had a 5-yard run. That's when Stephen Morris started to look much more comfortable. He's starting to find Allen Hurns a lot more. Then the following drive, they actually were running. And then the one time they tried to pass, they were around on 30. It was a fumble picked up by David Gilbert for a 72-yard fumble return. It was a great executed play. Tyreek McCord came right in for the sack. And not only did he get the sack, he got up and tackled the closest lineman who would have fell on it and made David Gilbert able to pick it up and run in for the touchdown. So that play, you know, David Gilbert got the touchdown, but credit to Tyreek McCord on that play. He had a really good game. Him, Al-Qadim, Muhammad are definitely starting to come into their own as pass rushers. You can see the potential with those two. They're often getting off the edge and getting to the backfield. A lot of times the problem with them is they take bad angles to the quarterback, or the same as the problem with the rest of the defense. They just miss the tackle. Yeah, after that, last touchdown, Virginia ran a 7-yard touchdown pass. Touchdown run. The problem with that is, on that play, LaDarius Gunter, who had missed the tackle to stop him from getting to the end zone, got injured. No update. They said we could see him back this season. We don't know for sure yet. We definitely need him. That would be a huge loss if we lose LaDarius Gunter for the rest of the season. We did lose in that game Nate Dortch and Corn Elder, two other cornerbacks. So we definitely for the rest of the season. So we definitely can't afford to lose three cornerbacks in one game for the rest of the season on a defense that needs all the help it can get. Next game, the Miami Hurricanes play at Pittsburgh, and that game it wasn't a great game. They were definitely sloppy. Virginia hasn't won a game in the ACC this year, and they're not very good. But it was a game the Canes needed. You know, coming off of three straight losses, you just needed to find a win, get a win by any means possible, and they pulled that out. And it was good enough, you know. The Canes, they've had up and down season. You know, they probably pulled out some games they shouldn't have. You've seen everybody, especially when they beat Florida, everybody's saying Hurricanes is back. And Al Golden has been warning people all season, you know, we're not back yet. We're building. You know, he has a great recruiting class coming in. You know, a lot of people on this defense is coming back. We're going to lose Stephen Morse and Alan Hearns. It's up to Ryan Williams and Kevin Olsen, whoever wins that quarterback competition, to step up. We definitely have a lot of receivers coming back. So while Alan Hearns will be missed, like I mentioned earlier, he's our most consistent receiver. But Herb Waters and Stacy Collier coming back, who's been playmakers. Malcolm Lewis is getting looking more and more healthy each week. He'll definitely look good next year. And Rashawn Scott and Philip Dorsett will be back. So it's definitely weapons. It was a good game to send the seniors off with the win. A lot of them produced, so that's definitely good. Defense, everybody seems to be coming back. You know, we lost Highsmith. We're losing Highsmith and Jenkins. Jenkins actually had an interception that game. It got tipped and he ran under it, so it was a good pick by him. Highsmith, he had a game-saving tackle. He's been very inconsistent. A lot of fans are upset with him because he does miss a lot of tackles. We have Deion Bush and Rashawn Jenkins is a sophomore, so Deion Bush and Rashawn Jenkins will be back. It's Casey Rogers who was the other senior, so sorry about that. So we'll be losing those two guys. But after Deion Bush and Rashawn Jenkins, we don't have very much depth. You know, Jamal Carter, who took a redshirt this year, plays safety. And we have a couple guys who could play safety coming in the recruiting class, but we're definitely going to need Bush and Jenkins to step up next season. I've been saying, everybody's predicting Denzel Perryman to go pro, and I thought so too. I was on that bandwagon. He still might. He probably will. I don't think that would exactly be the best idea, seeing as how he's played the last couple of weeks. He's definitely shown inconsistency. His draft stock has definitely dropped. Now, what does that mean? Not sure if the scouts see it that way. You know, UM linebackers, even as lately, seem to come in there and produce. You know, Sean Spence has been battling injuries, but Colin McCarthy, who didn't have a great UM career, was drafted in the third round. Who had a great UM career, but was drafted late in the third round and came right into the Titans and produced. You know, John Beeson, who didn't have the best UM career, came in there and produced. So linebackers, regardless of their career at the University of Miami, they usually seem to go into the NFL and play well. So he still may go pro. I think it'll be better if he stays, just because if he has a good year next year, he could be a first-round linebacker. I do not believe he could be a first-round linebacker this year, and probably not even second round, but I'm not a scout, so who knows. North Carolina beat Wake Forest. So it looks like the ACC Coastal is out of our reach. But even still, you know, we beat Pittsburgh. And we still go to a decent bowl game. We win the bowl game. You have a 10-win season to play for. You know, we came into the season unranked. You know, I know we got excited. The Miami Hurricanes went 7-0. And they looked very good. You know, even though they weren't winning, you know, they weren't dominating games, they kept finding a way to win. They were down in the fourth quarter and were winning with adversity. So, you know, it's disappointing when you win 7 in a row and then lose 3 straight like they did, but they're probably about where they should be, and if they could get a 10-win season, finish season 10-3, that's definitely an improvement, something to be proud of with the way this program has been. So, all is not lost with the Miami Hurricanes. And that's all I can think of about them. Let's go over to the Miami Dolphins. On Sunday, November 24th, the Miami Dolphins lost to the Carolina Panthers 20-16. This game was so Miami Dolphins. I mean, we've seen this episode. It's like a repeating show. You've seen the Dolphins lose this game this same way so many times. You know, they have a lead the whole game and blow it at the end. It's just happened countless times with them. In the first half, they started off great. They started off the game great. You know, defense was swarming, attacking Cam Newton, getting pressure on him, had him scrambling out the pocket, throwing passes away. Cam Wake, I'm not sure who their right tackle was, but once again, Cam Wake, he's definitely healthy now. He was just abusing their right tackle consistently the whole game. You know, if the refs wanted to, they could have called a holding play for about 80% of the snaps. In the first quarter, we finally saw a deep ball connection between Ryan Tannehill and Mike Wallace. It was underthrown by Tannehill slightly, but Mike Wallace came back for it, caught it, and even broke a touchdown against the end zone. The closest thing to chemistry we've seen between them all year. Finally some life. I'm not sure what took this long, but hey, better late than never, I guess. You know, it was a great catch by Mike Wallace. You could definitely see he was happy. He had to wait for it a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. He had to fight for it, but he held on to it. I was surprised. I'm not sure if I was more surprised that he came back and fought for the ball, the fact that it wasn't severely underthrown. That's usually been Ryan Tannehill's problem with Mike Wallace. It's not only underthrown, it's underthrown a lot. He'd have his man beat by 5 yards, and the cornerback, by the time the ball gets there, the cornerback is caught up to Mike Wallace. So, good pass, not a great pass, but good enough to get the job done. Better catch by Mike Wallace. Then for the rest of the first half, rest of the game, Dolphins defense was playing great, getting pressure on Cam Newton, causing turnovers. Miami's offense just couldn't put the ball in the end zone anymore. You know, that's what happens. If you kick too many field goals, they'll kill you. The Miami Dolphins are the only team in the NFL that has not scored 27 points this season, which is sad, especially considering, like, our head coach is a supposedly offensive guru from Green Bay. It's weapons all over the offense, so no excuse for this team not to be able to put the ball in the end zone. I point to coach 90%. They did have a bad call. You know, Rashard Matthews caught the ball and dropped it in the end zone, but it was definitely a helmet-to-helmet by Luke Kuechly. The refs threw the flag originally, but I'm not sure why, but they tucked the circle and called it back. That made it settle for a field goal. Going into the before halftime, the Dolphins were playing prevent defense, and Cam Newton threw an underneath pass that got 29 yards to put them in field goal range, let them get a field goal before halftime. Going to halftime, score was 16-6, and That last drive just gave them all the momentum. They drove the ball right down the field, got that field goal, and they stopped us before. No, excuse me. They got the ball first, and in the second half, drove right down the field and scored. You could clearly tell they were flourishing off that momentum that they got for halftime. Cam Newton said he figured something out, and defense was still playing good. Cam Wake, Olivier Vernon, even Deion Jordan. You know, those guys were playing great. You know, Deion Jordan had actually blocked a kick before. You know, it hit his guy, so Deion Jordan doesn't get the credit. But it was the guy that was blocking Deion Jordan. When I looked at it, it looked like Deion Jordan pushed him back. So it could have been a low kick. Could have had to do with that pushback. We wouldn't know. But, you know, if anyone gets the credit for it, it was him. They later took it back and called it a missed field goal rather than blocked. But didn't go in either way. And, you know, the Dolphins, every time they got a drive going, either a holding penalty or a drop pass, like I've mentioned, this team needs third and manageable. They need third and three, third and four. And Ryan Tannehill was doing that. He was actually scrambling on some plays to make it third and manageable, but we just couldn't get third downs. Couldn't convert on third downs. The Miami Dolphins were 4 from 16 from third downs. It's not gonna cut it against any team, especially not a team like the Panthers, who has a good defense and dangerous playmakers on offense. You know, Cam Newton can beat you with his legs or his arm, and that's the thing. Even though we were getting pressure on him, you know, he's mobile enough to extend plays with his legs and either throw the ball away or find a receiver, you know. So what could have been a 5-6 yard sack is now an incomplete pass. On the final drive, late in the fourth quarter, you know, the Dolphins had stopped them on the first three downs, had a crucial fourth and 10. If they stopped them, the game's pretty much over. They gave it up about a 13-yard pass to Steve Smith. Looked like Nolan Carroll, I believe, Nolan Carroll or Chris Clemons and Brent Grimes ran into each other. Freed Steve Smith up. And after that, you could just see, a few plays later in that drive, Cam Newton scrambled for a first down, and Rashawn Jones just literally touched the shoulder pads. It looked like Cam Newton slipped. Rashawn Jones touched shoulder pads. It looked like he even tried to hold him up, but he fell anyway. Refs called that a late hit, tacked on an extra 15 yards, and that play right there put them in field goal range. So at that point, it was, you know, 13-16. You just needed the Dolphins to stop them and hold them to a field goal. Yeah, that didn't happen. Carolina Panthers scored. You know, Greg Olsen, it was a 1 yard touchdown pass to Greg Olsen. He was wide open. It looked like miscommunication. I don't know if it was a linebacker or a safety supposed to be on him, but it was a play action. So they bit for the play action, and he's in the back of the end zone, wide open. Left the Miami Dolphins with about 38 seconds left to score. You know, the first play they got a decent pass for Brian Hartline down the middle, came down and spiked it. And then, ironically enough, you know, it was a long play. Somehow Mike Wallace got behind the Panthers defense. It was in his hand. Would have been a difficult catch. I believe it was a catch he could have made, but, you know, it fell out of his hands. And then the final play, it was sacked to end the game. It's not a huge loss as far as the standings is concerned, because the Panthers are in the NFC. You win that game, you go to 6-5, and you're in the driver's seat of a wild card spot. It's still in decent position, you know, 5-6. But this team, I'm not a fan of Joe Philbin. I wasn't a fan of him this game either. I just don't understand how a guy who was a supposedly offensive guru can't put up more than 16 points. This team, there's too many weapons on this offense for us to be struggling to score. I don't understand what's going on, why they can't score. And I actually thought this was one of his, the first half, that was one of his better coached games. And you see it, a lot of people noticed it versus the Patriots game, and it's starting to become a, starting, the players are starting to say it. For some reason, when the Dolphins go into halftime, they don't make any second half adjustments. So when the team goes in there and adjusts and switches their game plan up, the Dolphins are still playing with the same game plan that they used to stop them in the first half, and it no longer works. And for some reason, they don't adjust. They never adjust. So same thing happened. Yeah, I believe, you know, Greg Olsen was quoted as saying, they're a good team, they just can't finish. We had that problem. We used to have that problem until this year. And that pretty much hits the nail on the coffin. There was, first of all, the Dolphins settled for too many field goals. You know, Caleb Sturgis was 3 for 4. He missed a 53-yarder. But we're asking, you know, you don't want to just rely on your kicker. We settled for way too many field goals. And it comes back to haunt us. While we get threes, the other team comes down to get sixes. And that, at the end of the game, that those points that we leave on the field always come back behind us. You know, you can, like you said, that call earlier with the Rashard Matthews, the helmet to helmet, you could point to that, but that's the game of football. There's always going to be bad calls. You have to adapt from it. You can't let one call ruin you for the whole game. And that first half, we were running rollouts. Tannehill was scrambling. We had hit Mike Wallace deep. We went back to him a couple times, and it seemed like it was just missing. He even overthrew him once. It looked positive. And you're like, okay, we can go in there halftime, make some adjustments, and come out right. And they came out looking flat. You know, the run game. Run game didn't do very well. We only had 17 attempts. Daniel Thomas hurt his ankle in that game. It's looking like he's going to be out for the season. So, you know, when he went down, Marcus Thigpen had to come in and be the second running back because Mike Gillislee wasn't active. And he didn't step up. It was pretty much Lamar Miller. And with them stopping the run, it pretty much turned the offense into a one-dimensional offense. I assume Mike Gillislee is going to be active for the rest of the season. We don't really know what to expect from him. He didn't play great in the preseason. We haven't seen him all season. You'd imagine, especially with our running game being so inconsistent, if he was good enough to play, they would have had him out there by now. But who knows? We were able to pick up a guard off the street and play him, and he's playing decent. Brenner's playing decent, so maybe Gillislee will surprise us. You never know. Like I mentioned before, this game wasn't a crucial loss. We have a big game this Sunday against the New York Jets. You must win if you want to make the playoffs at all. You can't afford to lose to the Jets. You have to pretty much have to win the rest of your division games. At least, if you're going to lose one, you think they lose to the Patriots. But you have to beat the Bills the next time, and you definitely have to sweep the Jets. So that game is 1 o'clock on Sunday. And that'll be it. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. On Wednesday, around Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not sure what day to come out, but I'll have a preview podcast for the game against the Jets, for the Miami Dolphins game at New York, and the Miami Hurricanes game at Pittsburgh. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at KBK, CABEYKABE. Send questions, comments, you know. Next week, I'm probably have some more people on here with me, some guests. Thank you for listening to the Miami Hour.